Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Hey, look, I'm probably not the guy you'd pick as the poster child for hair loss treatment. I think most of you know I lost that battle a long time ago. But here's the thing. I wish Hims had been around when I was still in the fight, because Hims makes it genuinely easy. We're talking 100% online access to doctor-trusted treatments, finasteride, minoxidil, chews, serums, sprays, oral medication, stuff that can actually stop further hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hassle, no surprise costs. If you still got something to work with up there, guys, don't wait until you end up like me. Hims makes it simple. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Hims.com/Zabe. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants a curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart-loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go! Wednesday, March 11, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Could be a short week. I want to let everyone know right out of the gate here that tomorrow, as you listen to this on a Wednesday morning, Thursday, I'm getting oral surgery. Yay! A root canal didn't take. In other words, the bone around the giant hole in my upper jaw that I didn't even know was there until I saw the 3D scan, and I'm like, ah! What is that? And the endodontist is like, that's a problem, yeah. The bone was supposed to regrow. It ain't regrowing. So now they got to go cut in through my upper lip. My face, Jerry. I hope it's not disfigured. They got to cut in. I'm going to be out for an hour and a half. Sedate me. Boom. Wake me up. Feel like I got kicked in the face by a horse. And they're going to go in there and like fill the cavity with this special bone marrow that stimulates growth in there. And they swear that it's going to help grow the bone and fill it in. And they're going to cover up inside with like some kind of saran wrap kind of thing. Sounds like voodoo to me. I'm like, you sure this is going to work, doc? And they're like, yeah, we do it all the time. I'm like, all right, great. No idea if we'll be talking on this for like a couple days or not, but we shall see. Matt Miller comes your way in just a moment. But first, there's some stuff out there. Some good stuff, some not so good stuff. I don't make the news, I just report it. Let's start with the good stuff. And that is the World Baseball Classic delivered on Tuesday night. Team USA with a thrilling and tight win over Team Mexico. Aaron Judge was the hero. They hated Aaron Judge in Houston. There was a big split of fans, probably 50-50. And it was high drama. It was good stuff. This is why you play these exhibitions. For the best of the best going against each other for pride and country. And most of the players that I've read in the World Baseball Classic said, you know, I kind of didn't think this was going to be much of a deal. Once I put on the USA uniforms, oh, it felt different. And it's very high-level baseball as well. It's also not so high-level baseball in that Czechia's Andrei Satoria threw 4 2/3 shutout innings against Japan, no slouch. And Andrei Satoria is a full-time electrician who just plays baseball as a side quest.
And the ovation for Andrei Satoria, the bow from his manager, Pavel Hedin. Build the statue in Ostrava for Andrei Satoria, a Czech baseball legend.
That's phenomenal. He's got his big old bushy square beard, kind of deep, hollow, sort of sad eyes, a mop of hair, now finally a smile as he walks off the mound. Man, that is the stuff of sports and the stuff of life. Meanwhile, in other sports, this is the bad side of sports, the ugly side of it. Utah Valley is the number one seed in the WAC tournament, men's college basketball. However, they will not be allowed to play in the tournament until they pay $1 million. A statement from the WAC board of directors goes as follows. As of this time, Utah Valley University has not complied with a Utah judge's order that directs them to place $1 million in escrow with the court. The amount of their agreed-upon exit fee from the Western Athletic Conference. As the court-ordered preliminary injunction is contingent upon that directive, the WAC Board of Directors has instructed the commissioner to plan for the men's and women's basketball tournaments to be played without Utah Valley University. Wow. I mean, they're the number one seed in the conference tournament. And they're like, knock, knock. Where's my money? You got our money? You know, court order and all? Money. Wild stuff. Good thing this is all for college basketball. And it's all about the kids. It's all about education. You know, it's what it's all about. The Jets apparently are closing in on Geno Smith. This is a bad idea. But it's not the worst idea. If the Colts end up caving on Daniel Jones and pay him close to $50 million, that's an even worse idea. I would agree with those who are saying, okay, now that he's leveraging the team because he can, and he's turned down 3 for $100, which is more than fair, by the way, for Daniel effing Jones coming off an Achilles injury, you can't trust him. Like, don't do this deal. Just like the Dolphins should have never done the deal with Tua. Sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't make. And you could say, well, who are you going to have as a quarterback? You got nobody. Well, you still have Richardson. I assume he's over that freak injury by now that kept him out all of last season. Get somebody else. Figure it out. Like, you would be nuts if you're the Colts to let him hold you hostage, and then to agree to the ransom. But whatever. So if the Jets close in and they do the deal with Geno Smith, here is the timeline starting with Geno Smith the first time around. You ready? Buckle up. Geno Smith to Matt Sims to Michael... Matt Sims? Do I even remember a Matt Sims? Geno Smith to Matt Sims to Michael Vick to Ryan Fitzpatrick to Bryce Petty to Josh McCown, to Sam Darnold, to Trevor Siemian, to Luke Falk, to Joe Flacco, to Zach Wilson, to Mike White, to Josh Johnson, to Chris Streveler? To Aaron Rodgers, to Tim Boyle, to Tyrod Taylor, to Justin Fields, to Brady Cook, and now back to Geno Smith. According to one report, Tua considered going to the Jets, but then told someone close to him in a circle that he figured
or no, not Tua, but Malik Willis. Malik Willis was weighing a serious offer from the Jets, but decided against it because he felt it would be, ready for it, quote, career suicide, unquote. Yeah. But then again, you're going to the Dolphins. It's like suicide by gunshot or suicide by drinking a gallon of ammonia. Pick your poison, if you will. Suicide is bad. Call the suicide hotline. This too shall pass, my friends. So just want to say that in case anyone gets all up into me on it. Then there's this. And again, I don't write the stories. I just report them. Former Ohio State linebacker Daron Lee is facing murder charges after his girlfriend was found dead in his home. Even more damning, though, is what they found on his computer. In Lee's preliminary hearing, reports say that he typed into the AI chatbot on his computer the following sentence or sentences. Quote, fiance did her crazy thing again, and now she's messed up. I wake up and she has two swollen eyes, parentheses, I didn't do anything, self-inflicted. Unparentheses. She stabbed herself, slit her eye? Question mark. IDK, typed Daron Lee into the chatbot, but she isn't waking up or responding. What do I do? Oh my God. In February, police were called to a home where they found the woman suffering from multiple injuries. She was pronounced dead after medics attempted life-saving measures on the scene. Court documents revealed that Lee told deputies that his girlfriend or fiance fell in the shower, but detectives said the amount of blood inside the house was inconsistent with his statements. God, this guy is not only a monster and a scumbag who should fry, he's dumb as can be. Authorities found blood on the walls and cleaning materials, according to the affidavit. The woman suffered a stab wound, a bruise on her head, black eyes, and a bite mark on her shoulder. Oh, did it to herself. She's biting her shoulder again. Oh, of course, in 2022, Lee was accused of punching a woman multiple times and allegedly assaulted and threatened a second victim. He accepted a plea deal in 2025 where he pled guilty to a lesser charge of attempted assault and was not incarcerated. Lee won a national championship as a linebacker for the Ohio State Buckeyes back in 2014, which was one of the years coached by one Urban Meyer, which brings us to our unfortunate stat of the day. Urban Meyer has now coached three different players accused of murder. You can say, hey, man, you can't police everybody. You can't watch everyone. It's not his. This happened well after his player was gone. Come on, you can't put that on him. Hey, listen. It's a record. That's probably never going to be broken. But then again, that's Urban Meyer. Nothing shocks me. Coming up, Matt Miller will join us. Tilt Talk Tournament. And we got some movie stuff and pop culture to hash over as well. You are listening to the Zabecast.
All right, so look, I'm almost 57 years old now. In fact, almost 58, and I've been feeling more and more of it every day. You know what I'm talking about. Things that used to be easy just, well, aren't anymore. The energy is not quite like it used to be. Recovery takes longer. Nobody really talks about this stuff. We don't want to. But here's the reality. Most men start losing testosterone around age 30 at about 1% every year. Do the math. By the time you hit my age, well, it's added up. That's why I just started taking Mars Men. M-A-R-S men. Here's what got me interested. Your body actually makes testosterone, but a lot of it gets locked up by this protein called SHBG. It's like having money in the bank, but your debit card doesn't work. Mars Men is designed to help free that locked testosterone so your body can actually use it. No synthetics, no needles, just 8 natural, clinically dosed ingredients like Tongkat Ali, Shilajit, vitamin D, and zinc. Now look, I'm still early in, but I'm feeling good right now, and I know this. It's made in the USA, third-party tested, and they offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. You can't go wrong with that. I'm the king of returns, right? Over 91% of users report higher energy levels, and the reviews are legit. You can check them out yourself.
For a limited time, my listeners will get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and three free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and three free gifts when you check out. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support the show and the Zabecast by telling them I sent you.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Ah, yes, the dulcet tones of Careless Whisper. It is Matt Miller time here on the Zabecast. Mr. Miller, how are you? I have many stories upon which I would like to run by you, but I first want to ask you, because you are a man who appreciates human triumph and human tragedy when it comes to sports. Did you see what happened in the U.S. Marathon in Atlanta?
I did. That was truly tragic for the one. I guess it's a real, like, it's the modern glass half full, glass half empty question, right? Of like, do you find that movie triumphant for the guy who came back? And for those who don't know, the clip at the end of the U.S. marathon, guy's winning the race, getting close, clearly tired, guy comes up behind him in the true last step, passes him just in time.
Nathan Martin is the American who won the Los Angeles, this is the Los Angeles Marathon, not in Atlanta. Did I say Atlanta? The Los Angeles Marathon on Sunday by the closest margin in history after overtaking Kenya's Michael Kimani Kamau by 0.01 seconds.
And it looks it. And it looks it. It's truly step crosses the line just in front of the guy. And I can't imagine, are you even, do you even have the faculties in that moment after running a marathon to feel disappointment? Or are you just like, I'm dying, I'm dead, I'm done?
Apparently the Kenyan had pushed himself to the limit and required IV fluids afterwards. He like collapsed in a heap. But it was the finishing kick that was the mother of all finishing kicks by the American, Nathan Martin. Now, look, beating any Kenyan in a marathon is incredible. The Kenyans are the best at this sport.
It is their sport. They are the Dodgers.
Right. They are the Dodgers plus the Yankees plus whoever you want to put on top in terms of dominance. And I think I read once that not only is it part of their tradition and culture and heritage to be good at this, they train at altitude. And therefore, there's some other advantage to Kenyans beyond just this is what they do and what they do well.
Huh, I didn't know that part. But they're like, it's like Norway in the Winter Olympics. They show up to these events and they crush, and then they're like, thanks, we'll see you again.
Right.
You won't think about us for a while.
So not only is losing a marathon 26.2 miles of pure agony and effort on the last step to an American bad enough, but did you see what they found out happened, which absolutely cost the Kenyan the race? It happened again. Remember the half marathon controversy where the lead car, the guide car, took a wrong turn?
Yeah, went the wrong way, took everyone the wrong way.
It screwed two of the competitors, and they finished out of first place, and they weren't able to. That was just a half marathon, by the way. Not that I'm scoffing yet at Matt, because I can run a half marathon. But, I mean, that was not as big as a marathon or the LA marathon. But here's what's nuts is that it happened again.
a woman cheering on the Kenyan in a Kenyan with a Kenyan flag around her neck came out and kind of disrupted things and essentially interrupted the race at just the last moment for the final 100 yards and made the Kenyan take a wrong turn. And she was rooting for him. You didn't see this?
Oh my gosh.
It happened. Yes. Oh my God. It happened again. I'm going to show it to you right now.
I'm just so, I was going to say, because at least a marathon is one of those things where it's just like, listen, somebody was just faster.
All right, here you go. You see it right here?
Yep.
Okay.
It is a car. It's the roadway.
Okay. Here they come.
Visual media, visual on an audio medium. Well,
I'll run this clip in the promo. There she is. There she is. No, there he goes. Oh, she
no. Why'd you do that?
Yeah, the wrong way. Oh, my
God. Oh, no.
Humanity. Oh, man. What are you doing, ma'am? Look at her. She's out in the middle of the road. Like, yay. And almost clips his legs. And he kind of like, now I would imagine at this point, him being dehydrated and exhausted, he can't really see what's going on. He's just trusting he's going the right way. And I believe it was a race organizer, this guy here, that tried to guide. Like, there's one guy pointing the wrong way, like that.
I love going Zapruder film on a visual on an audio medium. This is going great.
All right. All right.
But no, it is, and that's devastating because, you know, it's a long race. If it was a big gap, you'd be like, oh, you know, these things happen. He lost by a step, and he loses those steps right here. It is, I would,
by the way,
that, if that lady's a Kenyan, citizenship revoked. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
You now live somewhere else. Now
look at this dipshit trying to be helpful. Watch right here. She starts pointing like, no, that way. Hey, you ding dong. If you had not been out on the road yourself, he would not have had to avoid you. Oh my God.
I'd love to cause a car accident and then get out of my car and start trying to like do like traffic directions out there and try to navigate people. People love that. Oh man, that is somehow even more devastating.
Do you think that woman feels any remorse whatsoever?
I'd like to think so. I'd like to believe enough in humanity that the concepts of shame and regret still exist in this world. And she is sending him a note every day being like, hi, it's me again. My bad.
I am really, really sorry. Like, I know your family was going to escape poverty in Kenya if you just won one big marathon in the U.S., the L.A. Marathon. I'm sorry. That's on me. That's on me. I should not have been out there in the middle of the run.
I was just so excited. I was just so amped.
Yeah.
I just had to ruin your race.
Yeah. By the way, why are you rooting for Kenya? They always win. Like, don't act like it's a big surprise. You should be standing there with your arms folded with your flag around your shoulders going, yeah, Kenya. It's what we do.
Is she like the Steve Bartman of Kenya? Like, is she going to like have like ESPN 30 for 30s in Kenya about her?
Miller, this is why you and I are such good podcast partners. You know what I tweeted? If Steve Bartman liked marathons, that was my tweet. That's exactly
brain link.
Anyway,
brain.
Totally connected. Okay. Second story that is both a sports and movies crossover. Mm. Did you see where the Atlanta Hawks have scrubbed their plans for Magic City Night in Atlanta? This yes. was going to be a night celebrating the iconic strip club that is well known in the Atlanta community and is also a place where they have apparently such good buffalo wings. The honey lemon pepper wings are so good that it once enticed Lou Williams of the Hawks out of the bubble during the pandemic to go on a mission to get wings. And he was promptly suspended by the league. Like, hey, you can't go out of the bubble for wings. So this Magic City is supposedly going to be, it was going to have a big night with all kinds of celebrations of it as part of the culture. And people started asking, it's a strip club. like, is this really?
Were people saying this, or was Luke Kornet specifically saying
Luke
this?
Luke Kornet was the one NBA player who spoke out about it, but apparently there were others behind the scenes, and they went to the commissioner, and Adam Silver said, yeah, you know, we wanted to know what their intentions were, and we reviewed it and said, you know, we appreciate what they were intending to do and everything, but we just felt it didn't align with our brand, so to speak.
I mean, Luke Kornet becoming the Mike Fiers of the NBA. Like, no organization wants to touch him now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway,
he ruined strip club night in Atlanta for everyone, Luke Kornet.
So here's the hook. One of the co-owners, or I guess owners of the team, is Jamie Gertz, the very same actress who has quite a long IMDb page, who is a lovely looking woman. There is something about Jamie Gertz that hits my aesthetic female taste buds. I'm like, give me a dark-eyed, dark-haired woman with a nice triangular face, high cheekbones. She was awesome in Twister.
I was going to say, she plays the unfortunate wife.
The ex-wife?
In Twister. Yeah, or yes, not the, was, the, well, the soon-to-be ex-wife.
Yes. That Bill Paxton left for Helen Hunt, who loved the danger of chasing.
Wait, no. Twisters. Helen Hunt is the wife, and he has to divorce Helen Hunt to marry Jamie Gertz. And then Jamie Gertz, yeah, it's very convoluted. And then he falls back in love with his wife, and Jamie Gertz is the poor, unfortunate wife who you feel so bad for. Oh. I feel worse for her and that woman than the cow flying through the Twister, because this poor woman is like flying through the fields of Nebraska and Indiana of the Midwest, just trying to marry the love of her life, slowly yet surely watching him disappear into the arms of Helen Hunt. And all she wanted to do was marry Bill Paxton.
Yeah, well, in real life, Jamie Gertz married a venture capitalist and was able to become the owner of the Atlanta Hawks. Good for her. Jamie Beth Gertz out of Chicago, Illinois, discovered in a nationwide talent search by Norman Lear, studied drama at NYU. She was in one episode of Different Strokes as a child actor, also had a recurring role in Facts of Life. She was in the TV sitcom Square Pegs, 1987's movie Less Than Zero, the friend of a doomed drug addict played by Robert Downey Jr. I know this is a little bit before your time, Matt Miller. And had been in Seinfeld as one of Jerry's many girlfriends.
Absolutely. And are you seeing this in the personal life? And this is Wikipedia, so, you know, buyer beware. Gertz and her husband are members of the investment group led by Mark Attanasio, which purchased the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes. Yes. So Gertz married well. Tony Ressler is a big private equity swinging dick, and they own chunks of several sports teams, including the Hawks. So get this. Jamie Gertz put a documentary together about Magic City.
What?
Yes. And so people quickly go, wait a minute, you're going to do strip club night for Magic City and you've got this documentary on a strip club and what it means to the city of Atlanta and just how good are those wings? Okay. All right. We're shutting all this down.
I don't know. The Atlanta sports fan community is so fickle. Like, I don't know. If I'm Adam Silver, I'm like, you know what? If this gets people into the Atlanta building, like, they lost Trae Young. Why take Magic City night away from them, too? Haven't they suffered enough?
I think it's such a funny hill to die on, because it's not like strippers are drafted as if it's the Army and conscripted into doing this on their own volition. Or against their own volition. They do this because it's a job, and it is not actual sex work. It is just dancing, semi-naked, or maybe fully. I don't know how Magic City works. And, you know, many of them are apparently college students, from what I've heard. You know, I'm just working my way through nursing school right now. Just need some extra money. It seems like this is a weird hill to die on when there's plenty of other adult sort of sexual and or gender themed nights that the NBA is willing to get into. They somehow found a bridge too far
which was a perfectly legal, as long as you're 18 or maybe 21, strip club in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay.
I mean, also, Adam Silver, don't you have, like, gambling issues with the league? You got to work out first.
Gambling issues. He's got Steve Ballmer, the richest owner, circumventing the cap like a mofo on the whole Kawhi Leonard thing. By the way, update on that, because I was really into following that with Pablo Torre finds out.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad for Pablo because he blew the lid off this. He had him dead to rights. It's all right there. It's as much of a cheating thing as ever. And guess what, Miller? Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like, imagine how frustrated you must be sometimes going, God, I did all this work and I really blew the lid off and they're just going to cover it up. Basically, the investigation, the law firm, is paid for by the team getting investigated. So Ballmer is paying the bill for the law firm to investigate. Well, what happened here with, you know.
So Detective Ballmer is doing the detecting on, you know, lead suspect Ballmer.
And as a David Sampson said on Pablo's podcast, he goes, look, these law firms are businesses and the teams are the clients. And if the client is paying you for something, then you generally deliver them what the client wants. So they're going to shape this in a way. They're going to mold this in a way. There is no way the NBA wants to piss off, suspend, or fine their richest owner in Los Angeles.
And if they do, it'll come like 5 years from now when the Clippers are bad and everyone will have forgotten. And they'll be like, oh, by the way, 30-game suspension for your star player who will probably be, you know, nobody who matters. Like, they will drag this out. They will deflategate this. They will get around to doing something about it at the least important time.
And they'll dock a second-round pick and call it just punishment when it's all said and done.
Yeah, they'll say, book closed. Anyways, nothing to see here. And it'll make a great ESPN 30 for 30 in Kenya in 10 years.
All right, those are my two big stories. The floor is yours, my friend. Where would you like to go?
I want to ask you a question quick. I want to stay in sports for a hot second before we U-turn into the Oscars this weekend. How excited versus dreading Selection Sunday are you right now?
I am, well, I want Miami of Ohio in. I fear that if they lose, they might not be in, but we'll see.
There is a real dread around college basketball right now of, like, when the funny, good character in the horror movie, you get the vibe that they're about to get killed, and you're like, oh, no. That is how I feel about college basketball and March Madness right now. Conversation around undefeated Miami, Ohio, maybe not being good enough to be in a field of 68 while we are debating the qualities of Auburn, who lost half their games, and Oklahoma's of the world. It feels like we are on the precipice of losing one of the great sporting gauntlets, one of the great spirits of college sports.
Agreed. The shitification of all the good things in life continues apace, and it is quite depressing. Yesterday, I went through some of the numbers about how last year's tournament, Matt, was the chalkiest since they expanded in 85, meaning fewer actual upsets. And in every way looking at it, the point spreads have been getting larger and larger between the Power Four and everyone else. And the NIL game is basically killing Cinderella. If it hasn't already killed Cinderella. And that was the secret sauce that made the tournament great. There are those, like our friend Brian Butch, who argued with me yesterday, saying, well, these mid-majors shouldn't complain too much. They're lucky to be still in this thing. And I'm like, oh, my God. How can you say that?
They're the point. I literally, before we got on, I saw an ad, I think it was NCAA on my Facebook, of like all these memorable players, all these iconic moments from recent NCAA tournaments.
Yes.
And it was St. Peter's. It was the Oakland guy.
Florida
Gulf Coast. It was Farley Dickinson and UMBC.
Yes.
No one, even maybe more so than the NIL of it all, which of course that's a part of it. I think a lot of it, too, is the selection committee becoming conference-brained and being like, we got to get, you know, we don't want these small schools. We don't want McNeese. No. We don't want Dickinson, even if they're qualified. We don't want, you know, Miami, Ohio, or Akron. We want our name brands. We want Auburn, even if that means you are getting a worse team or a team that didn't earn the right to be there. At some point, wins should matter. Yep. Like, and I don't care if they're bad. If you won every game on your schedule, you did a damn good job. And if it was that easy, more tiny teams would do it.
Again, Miller, this is why you and I, we're hang die. We're tight. I'm right with you on this. I said this, I believe on Monday, I said the fact that we're not celebrating Miami's incredible feat, 31 up, 31 down, 31-0 every night. You have a bad night. You have a night in which your star player is sick. You have a night in which the guys have not had a good night of sleep because they've been traveling a lot. They got midterms going on. Win, win, win through it all. And as
playing a team that got hot at the right time.
And then as the season went on, the knot on the rope got tighter and tighter because every team wanted to be the one to put their feather in their cap about, hey, we beat them, right? We're the ones that clipped them. Incredible sporting feat, should not even be a debate, but it's heading the wrong way, and I hate it. Now, this is objectively the worst bubble ever. Like, the numbers nerds, Miller, have looked at it, and they're like, it's the worst bubble ever because the teams on it are the weakest ever.
It's a lot of mid. And again, if we I think we talked about this with college football in the playoff there, where it's like, if we are deciding between an underperforming, middling major conference school and a small school that had an beyond year that went 26-5 but just stumbled in the championship game of its conference, give me the Cinderella story. Give me the story of a bunch of scrappy upstarts. Don't give me a bunch of guys who, like, you know, were born on second base, you know, in Auburn. Like, I just don't, this whole world of rooting for it hurts me. And it's so antithetical to why we watch March Madness. It is, again, like we said before, they promote the Cinderellas, yet they are pushing them so far out. And as a result, like you said, you have a year like last year where you just didn't have that many upsets. I think the fewest upsets, because I keep track of this myself on a very informal sheet, but the fewest upsets I think we ever had was like 2004. And I count upsets as a double digit over a single digit in terms of like first round games. Like in 2007, Winthrop and VCU were the only double digit first round upsets. That was it.
Okay.
There were two in 2007. There were three in 2000 and 2004. And then I believe, and there were none in 2020 because they didn't have a March Madness. Like, maybe it's ebbs and flows. Maybe we're overreacting right now, but again, kind of nervous about this year's tournament.
I know, because with each one that passes, it may be the last decent one before it gets completely unshittified. If they go to 76, then it's shit. They've made it complete shit. And you know, they're dying to do that, and they're pushing at the edge of it. So we need to enjoy this while it's here, because someday this will all end. That said, I give you this guy right here, Chase Johnston for High Point University. High Point has won the Big South.
Number 99 on High Point.
Number 99. Now, okay, it's not just that he is a white guy shooter who wears number 99 for High Point. Look at his season stats. He is 64 for 132 from three-point range. So, in other words, damn near 50% from outside. But his inside-the-arc numbers on the season, 0-4. He is 0-4 on twos. He's only taken four twos and he missed them. That's how much he hates twos. He probably missed them on purpose. Like, I don't want this.
Or he, like, they were threes that he was accidentally on the line for, or something like that. Like, these were not purposeful twos.
Right. He's like looking at the referee does the sign like, oh, no, that's not a three. It's a two. He's like, son of a bitch. I could have sworn I was outside the arc here.
Like, those are the stories we want. Like, give me Chase Johnston defeating, you know, Purdue or something like that. Don't give me, you know, Oklahoma beating, you know, Oklahoma beating St. Louis in a 5-12 and tell me that that's an exciting upset. Like, it reminds me of the UConn-Kentucky National Championship from, like, I think it was like 10, 15 years ago. And it's the two highest seeds to ever make a national championship, because I think one was a 7 and I think one was maybe in a 10 or 11 seed. And everyone was like, wow, upsets. Wow, what an exciting. And it's like, I'm sorry, UConn and Kentucky cannot qualify as underdogs. We are not having this conversation about, oh, sweet little underperforming UConn and Kentucky, you know, middle their way into the tournament and then turn it on at the right time. Yeah. Give me a break. It's like when people were like, the Yankees, scrappy underdogs in this year's World Series. Get out of here
with that nut stuff. All right, movie review. I went to go see Hoppers, the Disney Pixar animated feature, with my daughter Catherine. She loved it. I was sitting in a giant auditorium. It was the biggest one that they had at my local Cineplex. It was populated by maybe a dozen paying customers, but that's fine. The music or the sound system was loud. I love it when it is movie theater loud.
Get that Atmos going, Dolby Atmos.
my daughter loved it. I didn't care for it. I didn't think it had any of the usual Pixar magic. It's getting good reviews. I think it's going to make a lot of money. Have you checked the box office on it yet?
It's off to a good start. I believe it made like $46 million this opening weekend, which it's not Incredibles 2 money, but for an original Pixar movie, that's pretty high these days. It's pretty hard to get people into theaters for an original movie period, much less an original animated movie. The cinema score, aka kind of the crowd polling score, is an A. So that tells me, you know, generally audiences are enjoying it. So I think it's going to have some really good legs, and it's probably going to make its money back and hopefully be a good hit, and hopefully, you know, give Pixar a blank check to make more original movies rather than just crapping out Toy Story sequels and Nemo sequels and spinoffs, because that's why we have Pixar. You know, we have Pixar to make interesting original movies, and then, you know, a sequel here or there, they're pretty good at it, but they've gone so hard in the sequel direction in recent years. The Disneyfication of Pixar has been very disappointing. So I'm hopeful that Hoppers keeps holding on. The one thing is, you've got that Super Mario Galaxy movie coming in a month, and I imagine, you know, make your money now while you can, Hoppers, because once that thing shows up, it's just going to just 16 seed getting crushed by a 1 seed situation.
Yeah. And I'll definitely be taking a nap during that one as well, because my daughter she very much liked the original Mario Brothers, even though she never played the video game as a kid. So go for it.
Really?
No, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, she loved it. So one review of it said, parents should not take kids under 10 to see this movie. That it's the darkest Pixar film with heavy themes, destruction and violence due to the main character's selfishness and bad decisions. None of the main human characters are likable. It promotes a message of all people are good inside and that animals should be elevated to the same level as humans. Neither biblical. It's also completely devoid of joy, which is atypical for a Pixar film.
I think it's a funny thing to say about a Pixar movie when, like, the two first Pixar movies, one was about the boring bureaucratic life of your toys, and the second one was about insects revolting, a communist insect revolt. Yeah. It's not like Pixar's, I mean, Up, one of the favorite movies, opens with great tragedy miscarriage and watching a woman, a love story begin and end in front of your eyes.
I didn't find this story to be particularly compelling. It's a young girl who loves nature and loves going to sit on a rock looking at the pond and the glade with her grandmother, and then big evil politician guy, the mayor, voiced by John Hamm, wants to build a highway and just build it right through the pond and the glade and blow up the dams and kick out the animals, and here's our highway.
Getting the vibe there's an environmental message here.
And so they end up, I'm going to spoil it for you.
I still want to see it. I just can't go now. I can't go now, Zabe. I'm a 30-year-old man, childless adult. I can't go to a kid's movie on opening weekend.
Okay. Well, anyway, I've really liked some of the unique themes and stories of most of the Pixar movies. I thought this one was a miss, but looks like it's going to do pretty well at the box office. I know what is a miss, which is Maggie Gyllenhaal's remake of The Bride of Frankenstein, but told from a feminist perspective. It's called The Bride, and it's getting crushed right now.
It's a mess. It's the kind of movie that I wish I could be like, oh, misunderstood masterpiece. Why don't people get it? But that movie is, it's similar to the Francis Ford Coppola, the Megalopolis movie, where it's like, I'm glad it exists. What an original vision. I'm glad I never have to see it again because it's an absolute catastrophe. Like, there's just baseline things in that movie that absolutely catastrophically do not work. And I saw one review that said Jessie Buckley, the lead actress, the Bride of Frankenstein in The Bride, she's the front runner to win Best Actress. She's the lone lock of this upcoming Oscar night. She's guaranteed to win for Hamnet. And people were like, if The Bride had come out like a month ago, it could have been her Norbit. It could have been her Eddie Murphy, this performance is so bad it colors people's perspectives of them and makes them be like, never mind, we don't want to give you an Oscar right now. You got to come back. So it'll be very interesting. It's going to be a tough week for her because she's also the least exciting of all the winners, I think, that are going to happen Sunday night. So it's going to be kind of the weird Oscar win that doesn't entirely feel like a win. So we'll see how that goes for her.
All right, so here's the nominees for Best Picture. The 98th Academy Awards will take place this Sunday.
Sunday night on
Sunday.
ABC.
Sunday, hosted by Conan O'Brien.
Yes, Conan the Barbarian Brian.
The Secret Agent is a nominated movie. I don't know what that is.
Brazilian spy movie.
Marty Supreme, starring Timothy Chalamet.
Ping pong movie, great.
F1 with Brad Pitt. I've heard of it. I hear it's good.
It is very much sports movie, the movie, in terms of the script. Yeah.
Sports movie, the movie. Frankenstein by Guillermo del Toro, or featuring Guillermo del Toro.
Directed, yeah. His big passion project, yep.
Okay. One Battle After Another, which stars
Leonardo DiCaprio, Benicio del Toro. It's the new Paul Thomas Anderson, There Will Be Blood, Boogie Nights guy. Currently your front runner? Okay. Question mark?
Begonia, starring Emma Stone. I don't even think I've seen a trailer for Begonia.
You might like Begonia. It's a crazy time. Yeah. It's a conspiracy movie about a guy who thinks that the boss at a local company is an alien. Ooh. And he kidnaps her. And it's like it's kind of Twilight Zone-y. It's by the guy who did Poor Things and The Lobster. His name's Yorgos Lanthimos. He's he did the Squarespace Super Bowl commercial, but don't hold that against him. Okay. He's a big old weirdo who somehow the Oscars have decided they love.
They love him.
And it's a very interesting movie. It won't win, but it's an interesting movie.
Deep, dark, deep, husky voice with a rasp, and I love her little freckled face. It's a great combo for me. Train Dreams. Huh?
You said that with such resentment. You said that with such disdain.
Train Dreams.
Netflix movie with Joel Edgerton. Very natural, very guy dealing with life and existence in like the 1930s.
Wait a minute. They allow Netflix movies into Best Picture now?
They do, but Netflix has to play them at least in a few theaters.
Okay.
So they have to play somewhere. You have to play some theaters somewhere. And unfortunately, if you're like you and me and you don't live in New York and L.A., that normally doesn't mean us. But yeah, they can get nominated. They've yet to win, but they can get nominated.
And if a Netflix movie wins, you just hold up your phone with the movie on it instead of the big projector at the theater, the Dolby Theater, showing it.
Yes.
Like, here, this one, hold it up. Okay.
It was you during Hoppers. It was you just like pulling up your phone and watching Train Dreams on your phone instead.
Okay. Sinners, which I've heard a lot about and has drawn very good reviews. Michael B. Jordan in Sinners.
Yes, this is the big vampire. Yeah, vampire juke joint musical drama. Ryan Coogler wrote and directed it. Big passion project of his. Turned into a massive hit. You know, an original movie making blockbuster money. The opposite of The Bride for the studio. It's a neck and neck race between that and One Battle After Another for Best Picture. And it's, yeah, we can get more into that, but we're still running through.
And then there's Hamnet, which is about William Shakespeare and his wife Agnes celebrating the birth of their son named Hamnet. But tragedy strikes and old Hamnet dies at a young age. It inspires Shakespeare to write his timeless masterpiece, Hamlet. I did not know I was this years old right now when I learned that Hamnet was the kid who died that inspired Shakespeare to write Hamlet.
It'd be very funny if it was like his child Hamnet died and he was inspired to write The Merry Wives of Windsor. and also, I think that's more fan fiction than reality. I could be wrong. Yeah, like this is a little bit of kind of creative liberties because we don't know a ton about Shakespeare's. And again, I'm no Shakespeare scholar. I could be swinging a miss on this. It plays a lot like Shakespeare fan fiction, the movie Hamnet. It is my least favorite, probably, of the Best Picture nominees this year. It's the most classically Oscar baity in terms of, you know, very lush visuals and a lot of very big, loud, emotional performances and, you know, a very theatrical, you know, British arts kind of vibes. I'm a little happy that it's fallen out of contendership for Best Picture.
Okay. All right, then finally, this Sentimental Value is also nominated. Sisters Nora and Agnes reunite with their estranged father, Gustav, a once-renowned director, who offers Nora a role in what he hopes will be his comeback film. His daughter turns it down, but soon discovers he's given the part to an eager young Hollywood star, and the two siblings must now navigate a complicated relationship.
Yeah, very classic Swedish Nordic kind of drama about daddy issues and families dealing with buried emotions and stuff like that. It's very good, but you have to very much kind of be on that movie's wavelength because it is not exactly a firecracking, you know, blockbuster extravaganza.
All right. What would be your movie of the year? What would win Best Picture for you?
I am guessing that Sinners is going to win Best Picture.
Not guessing who's going to win. What's Matt Miller's?
Best. I would choose Sinners as well. Okay. I think Sinners is kind of exactly what I want Hollywood to make, which is, you know, this movie with a lot of really fascinating ideas, but also, you know, this exciting filmmaking and, you know, it's a genre movie and it's all this stuff mashed into a single movie that's very entertaining, that's, you know, an original idea. I really had a great time with Sinners. It wasn't like my number one of the year, but it is in my top 10 for sure. It is cool that we have a year like this where the two frontrunners are both movies people generally like and enjoy. There's no real villain movie this year. I think Hamnet was the closest to that, but you've got movies this year that like, normally there's one movie that everyone's like, God, if this wins, I'm going to walk into the lake. And this year you don't really have that. Everyone's like, Sinners is a good movie. And One Battle After Another, if that wins, that's a pretty good movie too. Like, okay. So it's nice to see. It's going to be a very unpredictable night. There's normally at this point, the Oscars are very predictable and boring because all the precursors have happened. And we all know like, okay, this one, all the actor awards and this one, all the Gilda, you know, okay, moving on. Let's just hand out the awards already. And this year's very up in the air still. So that leads to a night with drama and go figure a night dedicated to drama, having some drama. How exciting.
Party at Miller's place. Bring a six pack. You'll have the popcorn and you'll have a grand time.
Exactly. I am having a little bit of a shindig, nice. But it's mostly really nerdy because it's all of us just like show clips from the movies, damn it. And me being angry at the telecast for not being 5 hours long rather than it being too short.
They're telling everyone up at the podium, wrap it up.
And I'm like, stretch it out, baby. Do more.
You can read more of Matt's stuff at his Substack, A Man About Film. Go look for it, A Man About Film. That is Matt Miller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R. Last I add on this today before we say goodbye, I love finding things that pop up in my timeline that are movie-related that either you already know or maybe they're new to you, but you probably knew this. when Disney heads changed the animated movie titled The Basil of Baker Street to a more generic and vague sounding The Great Mouse Detective, the filmmakers did not take to it well and promptly responded with the greatest memo ever written. They said, along with the new title for Basil of Baker Street, it's been decided to rename the entire library of animated classics. The new titles are as follows: Seven Little Men Help a Girl, The Wooden Boy Who Became Real, Color and Music, The Wonderful Elephant Who Could Really Fly, The Little Deer Who Grew Up, The Girl with the See-Through Shoes. That just goes on and on as they renamed every Disney classic with the most banal, obvious title ever. The Great Mouse Detective.
The funny thing is, I don't know if the Disney heads were wrong to rename it. Like, I worked at a movie theater when Ratatouille came out, and I can tell you how many families walked past that poster and were just like, I don't know what that is.
And even pronounce it. What?
Exactly. And like Basil of Baker Street, you know, how many? I like to think a lot of people know.
What's the story? Well, it's the Great Mouse Detective.
Great Mouse Detective tells you what it is. It's a mouse. He's a detective. He's pretty good at his job. You know, Basil of Baker. People don't even know how to pronounce Basil. They'd probably be like, Basil of Baker Street? Is this an herbs movie? What am I watching here? Like, it's very funny. I miss the days comments.
Right into the comments after this tweet, including people who had their own, such as The Mermaid Who Wanted to Be Human and Lions Have a Family Dispute for Lion King. Oh my God.
What if 101 Dalmatians was actually called That's Too Many Dogs?
Man.
And then the next one was That's Too Many Dogs again.
Too many dogs. You need to get rid of some of these dogs. Maybe make a coat out of them would be an idea. All right. Mr. Miller, enjoy Selection Sunday, which is also Oscar Sunday. I wish I lived close to you so I could come over for the party on these movies. I don't think I've seen any of them, but I'm going to try to see the Emma Stone one because now I'm kind of intrigued. So
I think you'd like that one. And F1 is good. I know a lot of people, people eye rolled F1's Best Picture nomination, but it's genuine. It's a well-made, you know, sports movie. It's not special in terms of the story, but it's technically super impressive. And I had a fun time with it. Sometimes cliches are good. Sometimes cliches become cliches because they're very effective at making you care about characters. So you might like that too.
Matt Miller, always a pleasure, my friend, and we will talk again soon down the road. I know you're doing some traveling, but that's fine. And go to A Man About Film. Follow him on Twitter at A Man About Film as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening here on this Zabecast edition. Tell a friend, rate and review. Tickle the algorithmic overlord. Subscribe to get Fridays or to get this podcast ad-free Monday through Thursday. Thanks for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time.
Go Red Hawk.
We're expecting you, and love, life's sweetest reward.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.